Greetings, everyone, and welcome to yet another exciting edition of Shoulda Had a D8, where we invite friends, family, fans, and cast to join us as we talk about the previous episodes of The Natural Ones and Descent into the Void. Joining us today, we have the cast of Descent into the Void, so I'd like to welcome Zeki, who plays Cal.
Hey, everybody, it's Zektown.
Travis, who plays King.
Hello, everyone.
And Alex, who plays Monaco.
Hey.
Thanks for joining, everybody. So, to do a brief recap on what happened on the last episode of Descent into the Void, you all had finally started your ritual to find out more information from your weapons that you had collectively, and Coben put on this big show and performance, and you all revealed different things, some scarier than the others, and some hidden from listeners as they were deeply in secret. Afterwards, after getting your revelations, you all headed back, and Horatio had headed off and did some training, and meanwhile, some accusations were being thrown up and about as a sort of mistrust argument happened in the courtyard during brunch time between King and Monaco in Accusion of Darkness, as well as Duran, who seemed to, from his vision back with the weapon, dwelled into the chaos a bit. Afterwards, you all got together and put on new clothes and finally headed off to the gala, where after entering, the guest of honor, King Terminus himself, was not there, and his attendants was running around like chickens with their head cut off, and then we had ended the session. So, my question goes to each of you. Your thoughts on your individual characters and their revelations with the weapons, and we'll start off with Travis, with King.
Spilling the tea right out the door, I totally did not expect to go first. I was like, I've been planning this ritual, poofing this thing, it's my magic weapon, I'm gonna be like the piece de la resistance at the end. So I was like sipping my tea, like waiting for you to call the first name of the first person, and then you're like, and Chastifol floats up, and I was like, what? Like, like I was like totally like taken aback. But I think it turned out fine. I was very excited and happy to learn about the spirit within and the powers that it has. Also, for the listeners, we had a little bit of a slip up, so I'll give the full explanation of how it's played out in the story. But I told our DM, I came up with the name Caliburn as like the 2.0, because I really don't like in-game Chastifol 2.0 said as a character. It feels awkward. So I wanted to give a real new name, and I think I mentioned it, like, this is sort of what I like, but I didn't officially state it, so I think he might have forgot. So he came up with the name Kaliara, which is Mylicky lore, so it still fits. So after quickly typing to him as that scene was going on, we rectified it to be that Kaliara is the spirit of the unicorn within, but as I wield it, it is its own new being, and the vessel itself is Caliburn that holds the spirit. And I think that's so cool because it's unique to me and it's unique to each user. Like if I were to have lineage or in other capacity, like it's unique to the user, which I think is so cool. But I love the fact that, you know, the unicorn, I can summon a unicorn in battle, which is fucking bomb OP. The split form that I can basically do animate objects is bananas, and I can't wait until that moment comes where I feel like our party is threatened and just needs more damage, and I'm just like, no! And I like snap my fingers or do something crazy and it just shatters, and then like all of these like spears like drill in like daggers. I'm just super excited to use it and play with it. And the one tiny piece that I feel like I didn't get closure on or clarity was, I thought that you were alluding to the fact that getting closer to this spirit would help me channel my energy in a lesser way, like from stealing from Duran's life force and my own. So I thought that, like, using it in some capacity might lessen it. And maybe that's still something up your sleeve, so you don't have to give anything away. But I thought that was part of the goal, and that I felt like I didn't get any information on. So that, to me, as the player, is still question marks that I have to figure out. And, you know, I'm still, like, wondering what you got planned, but...
Duran's just going to be getting older.
Right.
So I will admit that, yeah, I was alluding to that for listeners on purpose to make sure that you wouldn't guess what's going to happen, although you probably never would have. Though, have I forgotten about it? No, I have not. And that's where I will say with that.
Okay, that's cool. So I figured, like we all have said a million times, we trust you. You have the coolest and craziest ideas, so I can't wait to see how we get to grow, because we're not at our max form. We're at 13, we're not at 20, so we still have room to grow, and I'm excited to see what you have in store.
Exactly.
And but yeah.
Just know the stronger you guys get, the stronger the enemies are gonna get.
Good. It needs to be a battle.
You're like, since when do demons shoot beams across the universe? Now they do.
Now they do.
They do now baby.
There you go.
All right. What's his name? From Black Clover, Dimension Slash.
Oh, Yami.
Yami. Dimension Slash cut across fucking space-time.
Yep, you just got hit by a 10-10 from across the dimension, sorry. But in any case, up next, we did see several other weapons be revealed. But the next up would be Monaco. So... Alex, what went through Monaco as she saw the ominous pictures from her wand and the foreboding message saying that to be used in the days to come?
Oh, she didn't recognize the voice, but the images are, like, it's terrifying because of the great risk in the you know, what's coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In the days ahead.
And then the only clue you have that was said... And actually, this was said in the voice of your patron. Words are power. And then getting the all uses of the words of power on your wand. One time only. I'm curious to see how Monaco will use that. Any thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, her first thought is, oh, great. Now I'll definitely be able to kill him when I get to him. Thinking of Hiei and Doramu.
Mm-hmm.
But as a player, I think it's brilliant. It's like I think I've mentioned, like, it's a golden gun with four bullets in it. You know, that's like impactful four times to be impactful, or once in one brilliant display of he gets stunned and then he's pained and he gets through that and it's like a one long horrible drawn out thing. But
oh my goodness,
that would be dramatic too.
Would Monaco, follow up question on that, would Monaco use the power word kill to kill her patron? Keep in mind, if you kill your patron in the dimension they're from,
that's a more special one. You know, for the patron, it's like stun or pain or something to try, because the whole point is to, you know, keep him alive, because we're gonna need him.
Even if she's pushed to the point where everyone's like, "I'm about to kill your best friend."
Shit! I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. Don't threaten to kill her best friend.
No. I don't even know what's gonna happen. I'm just thinking, just like, what would push?
I mean,
Monaco
came down to it, like. Really, she would do it even if she knew that it would cause, like, probably more problems than it did solve them.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, she knows that hell is like a place that's filled with balanced politics.
Yeah,
you know, she like bought into the devil, like, propaganda to a degree, and that means that there's actually a reason why there's leaders in there. And so he probably shouldn't be taken out, or let loose, you know.
I am excited for when you all relearn the truths of the burning hand.
Oh, quite interesting.
I wrote up a whole shindig. I'm excited for that. Well, we'll
I'm
see
definitely
when,
excited
whenever we get to that arc. But and then lastly, to close the entirety of the ceremony, we got some yummy, yummy fattening calories. So the question now goes towards you, Zeki, for Cal. Now, before we go into it, we are going to be extremely vague, because as you know, everyone was sheltered into the void.
What happened?
So don't answer the question at what happened, more so the feeling of Cal in the most ambiguous way possible. Keep in mind, the listeners know exactly what happened.
Yeah, they do, which makes this recording so juicy.
What happened, Cal?
So, Cal definitely, he got some closure, I would say. In a weird way. You know what I mean? DM?
I'm glad.
Like, in a way, like, now everything is starting to fall into place in terms of, like, what needs to happen and what has happened, you know? And now, at the same time, I think it is, as a player, this is, like, something that I've wanted to kind of do secretly. I didn't even tell Omar about it. He kind of let me have it. What would a fantasy Western gunslinger be without, like, a couple aces up his sleeve? And now I have some things that my fellow players will get during the campaign now, in moments that I think will make or break a situation.
Okay, I'm actually quite curious to see how we use the gifts you were given.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that too.
I'm quite excited to see that. So then,
can I propose my theory?
Or no, go ahead.
Yeah,
No, go ahead and do your theory, and I'll do my follow-up question.
Because you said nothing, because we were in the void, and then when you came back, you said three or four words that gave me a little bit of a clue of what happened, and I feel like you were, like, meant to just say it to him and thought of it after you invited us back, and I think that gave it away for me personally. So my theory now is, you said something like, is Kellum Vor your dad or a representation of it? You said something like that. Mm-hmm. So my theory is, your father is actually a manifestation of the key, or the other version of you, and you're like the next one, and it's always two that happen, you know what I mean? And your father's the elder and you're the younger, and then eventually you'll be the elder and your father will pass and it will go to another one, and something like that. Maybe it'll be your kid, but
that
I think that
would be cool.
Your dad is part of Hades or Kellum Vor or something like that. Something like that is my, like, that's what I think it is. But I don't know.
That's pretty accurate. You don't know.
That would be pretty great if that were true. I don't know. That's a really good theory, though.
I would say that is an interesting theory.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Parts of what you said did run through my mind when I was actually coming up with things for Cal. So, in terms of this scene, but very interesting. We okay. all know, viewers, but you've heard, you can compare your theories.
We have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm so salty.
We don't have any idea.
I like the fact that Cal was like, hey, you want to know the secrets of the universe? Hey, you, do you want to know the secrets? And now he's like, I have secrets.
Right?
He looks so depressed. That's all I know. He was like drinking, like I don't want to, I don't know what to say.
Oh my goodness.
Cal is
we will touch upon
very
that.
Upset.
We will touch upon that soon. But before we do, my next question is about what we saw in Duran's reveal. As you all were stricken, and I was surprised no one actually brought this up, because you all felt it. This dark energy of fear coming from Duran during this scene. No, you brought it up there. I'm just surprised everyone else kind of were like, chill
with
it.
Goes under enough fire. I don't think she felt comfortable bringing up anything.
Oh, that is very true.
We were like, oh, these are all generally interesting and sort of like important things, but douche, like spotlights on Monaco when her thing happens. So,
like, yo, that was definitely evil fucking magic. And she's like, mm-hmm. But Duran was like, that was definitely an evil fucking sword. So what?
It's a chaotic sword.
It's chaotic evil.
Okay, probably. Sorry. It's probably chaotic evil.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. King was like, whatever. It pains me, and you. I feel darkness touching my heart when you swing it. Like, I said something.
I can control it.
He's like, I can control it. I can control it. I was like, ooh.
he can't control it.
I'm loving this. Ooh, I'm gonna explore this side of Duran so hard.
Right? Is that sword secretly whispering to him?
I'm quite excited. But that would be my question. We just discussed what's basically how we felt about Duran in that aspect. And then, of course, finally, we did see Horatio, and he was basically in through the eyes of the Pontifex, seeing some shady bit between him and his father. So, comments and thoughts on that. I'll start off with Cal, Zeki.
That was really weird. And I think with the additional information that was given to him during his moment, that was why Cal directly to the point was like, hey, where is your father again? Like, where is he at? Because, like, of that shadiness and from, like, what my, like, friends and companions have spoken about their travels before, like, I understand, like, this is, like, a huge deal. And the fact that he's... The way they were talking about his mother, especially, was, like... Like, red flags were just, like, going up. Like, this is... Somebody is getting double-crossed or triple-crossed here, and, like, I'm not sure exactly who to trust in all of this now.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen the Pontifex, but he was a skis bag.
Yeah. So
for the listeners, so they know that he was a skis bag.
Wasn't his father sort of not defending, what's the word I'm looking for, like pushing back against the Pontifex, saying like, she's more than a vessel, she's your love, supposed to be the love of your life, right? So Horatio's father wasn't shady in that. It was
the Pontifex issue.
The Pontifex,
I understood it as he was trying to do something shady to help the Pontifex by being with Horatio's mother. That's what I got. So if I misheard that while we were recording, that's on me.
It was more so that that the Pontifex was...
His own wife, though, right? Not about Horatio's mom.
Oh, see, the Pontifex wasn't married at the time. So if we remember, let's put on our way back when caps.
This is juicy lore for me, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
After Horatio's mom, so that she could give birth to the El Rabu.
Oh,
who would be a trying
Cochran. Oh, he was trying to, like, get Horatio's mom from the father, so that way he was like, hey, can I buy your wife? Oh, yeah.
No. That's my understanding.
I'll clear it up for the listeners.
So, what happened during the scene was, if you can put on your way back when caps, and of course, Zeki, you wouldn't know this, but they were a traveling party, the Pontifex, the Venta, the High Priestess, and Horatio's mom and dad. They were a group of friends, similar to how Queen Camilla and so on and so forth with Terminus and Cal's father. And remember, Zordan, which is the Pontifex's first name, hated Horatio's father because the Pontifex was in love with Susan Cain, but she was Susan DeLorean at the time. They were just all four friends. So this was a scene during that friendship.
He's like, hey, maybe you should back off. Yeah. And he said, no, I love her.
Yeah, and so they both love her at this point.
Was she with him though, or no?
She was just single.
They were just friends?
Yes.
Were they were not like dating or anything?
Locker room.
There was no nothing.
Now Horatio knows this, and it's quite possible this was done during a void, while you hop in a void or not. But Horatio knows that all four of them were friends, and instead of the Pontifex hooking up with Venta, that like he did now, well, back then, he was in love with Susan Kane. And now we discover that he also wanted to use Susan Kane's divine blood to birth the Arabu.
To try and birth an Arabu, okay.
Yeah, thinking that would be the key. And then Horatio's dad was like, she's more than just a vessel. And then you can't just use her like that. And she was like, I thought you were giving her up, leaving her for me. I called dibs, basically. And then he was like, having second thoughts, Horatio's father, because it seems like maybe now this is when the love between Horatio's mother and father was starting to happen. But the vision ended, so you couldn't see more than that. But it was an argument.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that makes more sense.
That but is a lot clearer now.
A lot of that is prefaced with you would have to have known that from before, but it was mostly for Horatio because Lewis remembers, and like that's a big thing that he found out by reading, and Natasha, which is also an NPC from prior to recording, had given him information on that.
You know, Monaco has no idea who the Pontifex is.
Nope.
She could totally bring this shit up later.
Totally yeah. can, yeah. As you all headed back from receiving your visions and went to bed, there was another kiss. A kiss Horatio and Monaco. So the question now goes to first, Alex. Let's talk about that kiss.
Oh my goodness. The heartbreaking kiss.
I felt so many which ways during that scene.
I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because, you know, it wasn't prefaced. So she was a little like what? and also a little like, hey, you know, I'm like super fucked up. Like, what is up with this? And but at the same time, like, he kind of opened his arms and like embraced her and like accepted that, and it was like a little. They have something there, you know? And,
I'm rooting for them.
Yeah. I want it to work out.
They're their foundation is built on rocky.
Yeah, right? It's like, it's really rocky, and she has like every one of her boyfriends is like a supervillain. And now it's like,
no places,
and now it's like Horatio, right?
Horatio Kane versus the world.
Horatio Kane versus the world.
Oh my goodness. Zeki, any thoughts on that? I mean, Cal had not seen this, and I'm so mad that Cal didn't pick up on any of this.
I know.
Cal has been like, "What's going on
perception
there?"
Perception could have made it. It just could have cut hair on there.
I mean, but I did mention whenever I was the last one up that I heard like the door open and Monaco's muffled voice. So like, I did know she like left her room at some point. Mm-hmm. But I think Cal would assume she was going to see Horatio, but he's like been assuming that's been happening now for like a hot minute.
Yeah, he's been like building his own like fucking web of shit, and then they did hold hands at the tram.
Yeah,
he's putting the fifth. I don't know car terms. I was gonna say he's putting the fifth spoke on the wheel, but I don't know. That makes no sense. I don't know. He's putting the fifth bolt on the tire. Because this is a...
Oh, you mean Cal himself?
He's a fifth wheel.
Oh, yeah.
He's the fifth wheel. I'm trying to make a stupid fifth wheel joke, but I'm bad, right? I can't think of anything good right now.
For all the listeners out there, we have a memes spoilers part of our Discord. And there were some very entertaining commentary during the recording of this episode, and I'm looking back at it now, and it completely captured a lot doesn't of what it?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw me on camera, Zeki, but like you were posting, I'm just like laughing. I'm like trying to be serious because I'm in the moment. It was such a scene, and then Zeki's posted this, and I'm just like laughing and like crying at the same time, crying from the scene and laughing at it, because like literally what he's posting is exactly what I'm feeling to the T at that moment.
Was perfect. Yeah.
It was a little long.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, oh no. No.
So do you, this would be just for Alex, do you see this butting into something? I mean, Monaco kind of was like, I'm gonna sleep alone.
Oh yeah, no. She was like, I don't know if I can handle having a relationship right now, basically. But but at the same time, like I do.
She's like, I'm already in one.
Yeah, kind of, right? So it's like kind of messed up, but I do want that. Like I think it would be good to have some good in her life, and her issue is the goodest boy, and I think it'd be cute. And even if it, I think there's also room for like it. Kind of budding and then collapsing, or it budding and then really playing out, because there's some I don't know, I think it's interesting. It's like it plays out differently, the two different relationships, and it'll be interesting seeing like
I just
like you like, said it's rocky as shit.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, and like part of me, like this is gonna sound so terrible, but for like the story and like the narrative and also like the yin and the yang, I kind of want it to fail just so that way it's like our relationship is super good and yours is not so good, and like you try but it fails. I think that like that could be like a really cool narrative beat and like tell my story. I personally think
Monaco fucking deserves to have a little bit of love in her life after all the tragedy.
I think so too. I think it like he genuinely cares, but I just think something about it, like, I don't know.
She should be cursed, I think.
I think that Monaco's still gonna backstab us and turn into an NPC, so. Like, no tea, no shade. I do.
Oh my goodness.
Like, Omar, like, I forget who said it, but someone, like, seeded the idea that, like, she could potentially backstab all of us. Like, you don't know. You, Zeki. Yeah, you said it. I was like, what? I didn't even consider that. And he's like, yeah, she totally could be the supervillain of the fucking arc. And I'm like, mind blown. And now I can keep thinking that.
You never think of that.
You liar, you've already spoken to him.
Now that you mention it, I do have an odd thing where that does occur in games. I have had two characters turn to supervillains so far in long term campaigns. So I'm gonna try to not make this one turn into a villain.
I
want to be more nuanced.
Yeah. It was just very, as a player, not as Cal. Cal doesn't know a lot of this information, but as a player, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she said she's going to do what she has to do, and she's going to have the burning hand in the same room as the vessel that is King. I'm like, what does this mean? This is a 50-50 crapshoot of she's going to either save King or save her hand, and I don't know.
And he's like, think about it. She's desperately in love with the burning hand. She's shown us a million times over and over. Like, and I was like, what? Like, as Travis, I was like, you're right. I didn't even consider that. Like, I don't want you to think that I don't want you to have, like, love in your relationship. Like, I absolutely do. I just think that it could, like, for the story, it would be so interesting. I hold both of those feelings at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want you to think I wish ill of Monaco. Like, I don't.
I feel like I'm a sucker for, like, weird relationships that have, like, weird dynamics to it when it comes to like TV shows and
like
films
it's fucked up, but it's also like juicy.
Yeah, it's like juicy. It's like there's like it's we're two fucked up people, but we're somehow our fucked up is going to mesh well together. And I love watching that, like, and all like the weird.
If they build
shows.
Each other up together, like that would be fantastic. Like two people at like really low points, like find a way to dance their way up to like being happy together. And I feel like that could also be a wonderful story that plays out too.
Like, I think so. your theory, your thing was saying, like, there's, like, if there's falls and yours rises, like, literally the opposite of what I said before. I was like, I love Duran and King's relationship, and, like, I kind of want to see it just crack and be perfect, and then, be like, someone betrays someone, and it just, like, shatters, like... I don't know. Like, my original thought to get that going, not get that going, but, like, seeing if putting a test on the relationship was seeing if Duran would keep a secret about the, his life going away. And he didn't. So I'm like, okay. So, like, this, let's see if this relationship could stand the test of time.
It's now, like, a huge stressor that King always thinks about. And I'm not going to put it past, like, I feel like because we feel so bound together, it needs to be something absolutely catastrophic where we would actually need to break the steel eye bond, because it feels like that, like, binds us together on more than just a emotional way. It's like literally a physical, mental, spiritual, and magical connection between us now. So something really, really, really bad has to happen for me to want to be like, this needs to be severed. And I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but it would have to happen when I'm like 17th level or above, because I think it would be like as dramatic as like, I wish for this to be away, and like some dramatic wish spell to erase the bond and then like end the memories of him and my love for him. And I'm like, oh, like, I don't even want to think about that. You're making me sad now.
I think there's a lot of room in storytelling for a positive relationship.
Of course.
You know, like, I think, like, not only all the cute shit, which is, of course, like, wonderful.
And Cal but also, learned to love also, himself.
Oh, poor Cal. except it's gonna be great.
That's a positive relationship, I would say.
I by all means am not sizing up to actually, I hope every relationship is great and I would like this story. I'm just saying, as someone who likes those weird, like, dark shows and all that stuff, I'm always for the juicy kind of stuff like that. Because I'm like, what if, and this is, I have no plans for this, this is just what could happen. We still have Duran and his warband. What is his loyalty towards warband? What if they still are evil? What if there's a thing between his warband and you? What will you decide? Will that break the bond between you?
Duran, if you listen to this, I expect you to side with me. We're married now.
I'm all the family you need now.
I'm all the family you need now.
Yeah. But leading on to when all this spilled out during the actual infamous... We had to come up with a name for it, like the... The dreaded brunch, where
the dreaded brunch.
King was like, I did not like the feeling from your vision, and as rightly so, you all felt the evil. If anything, Duran felt chaotic. Well, what came from Monaco was pure evil. I mean, or like lawful evil. So bringing that up and saying I don't trust you for it, and then like Monaco spilled the beans for the most part, holding back some information, which, in my opinion, if it comes out. At a bad time, could just because by you holding it back now, I don't know, right? King will be able to be like, trust you. But thoughts on that, and we'll start it off with the person who brought it up, Travis.
Whoa. I think that, like, because Duran and I had that conversation before we went to the group to be like, we have to trust them, and they're our friends, and like, outside of the game, we sort of didn't want to talk too much about it, but we did a little bit and felt like we're going to be so, so devastated. And in game, we meta changed how we felt because Duran and I talked about it and we're like, we have to give her a chance. But I don't think that King really would have done that. So I think the way that it played out was kind of really good because Monaco was so vague, as Zeki pointed out to me afterwards, that like when I actually do know the details, then I think I'll get a true reaction from us, because he pointed out, rightfully so, like, we don't know what her request is. We don't know what she actually did. She just said she's been doing things to us and manipulated our dreams, or my dreams one time. So, like, she's done a few messed up things, has sort of acted against us, but also has helped us too. So he's sort of like, what are you gonna ultimately do? Like, what is your ultimate goal here? Like, do you really love us? Or are you just feigning that to, you know, have a quote-unquote family, and then you're going to backstab us as soon as, you know, you get your patron in my body. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? So I think that, you know, the way that it played out was calmer than I thought I was going to be, but I don't know. I feel like King wants to trust her and wants to love her and embrace her for forever. But now she's done like two things that are against him. And he's like, I don't know if her loyalties really lie with me and us. I think her loyalties lie with herself. And if that's the case, that's, you know, critical information to know. And, you know, that's what I think.
And Alex, same question, but from Monaco's perspective, being then kind of addressed by King and then spilling what she did spill, what was going through her mind?
Oh, she had to be super careful. And she was, because she's still under a lot of pressure. She's still being watched, for one. That wasn't a warded bubble. You know, so she basically, you know, spilled as much as she felt comfortable spilling in that moment. And I don't know what to say other than, she's genuinely, there's a lot of emotions tied up in her patron and her relationship with him. And so, you know, she can't, she's caught between these two forces that cannot get along, and it seems like she wants to choose, and she's trying to find a third way out, but through this whole getting out there and doing some sort of ritual with getting the patron's true name and things like that, her hope is that in some way she'll be able to maintain a connection to him, and that in that way she'll have like a fucked up relationship where she's in power.
All right.
Which is, yeah, not better.
But she will have the power, though, at least to save the world. I'm curious to know what would be her motivations after this. Because it sounds like she just kind of been going with what the Bernie Hanna said, stick with him, you know, nefarious king. But then if
I mean, she's being genuine when she says that she wants to, like, save her country and shit.
Yeah.
Like, her country is overrun by demon-worshipping or something, demon-manipulating elf from another dimension. Like, fuck that guy showing up into my home, literally my backyard.
No, that's good to know. So, Monaco's motivation is really she wants to save her country, her home, as well as, you know, follow where her patron is doing, at least going up into this point. But so she does have noble intentions to save the world, basically.
Yeah, and she feels like she needs to have some sort of power to be able to do that. This is why she couldn't just throw out the pact and be like, whatever it takes to get out of this, I'll go underground or whatever. Like, you know, that was an option. Run away. She couldn't do that because she has something she has to do.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. Can't wait to see her story just go on. I will just say this, that I have fine-tuned if you survive all the things that are to come, or the things that are to come until that happens, the adventure for you to actually go into the Nine Hells and defeat your patron and all that. I'm quite excited to see that entire event fall through. I'm sure we're gonna get a lot of drama, a lot of heartache, tension. Anyway, but watching all this and drinking way too many whiskeys in their coffee, Cal was there, and his entire demeanor changed after his vision, which will not be discussed further. But he was noticeably fooling both people in game and out. Was kind of secretive, hesitant, and not in the moment. So what, without revealing anything that's too revealing, what's going through Cal's mind at this? He's happy-go-lucky, positive Cal to now this kind of darker Cal.
There were things that were instructed. There were things that were warned. There were other things that were insightful and rounding out of his character. And of those things, he can now not be sure after what has come out between these secrets of, you know, even the silly secret between King and Monaco about the kiss, the secret between Monaco and the rest of the party, the secret between Monaco and Horatio and the rest of the party. All of these things are now just making Cal like have to be super cautious in everything that he's doing.
Oh man, that's such a weird Cal now. We're just like, I was like,
I picture Cal, he's like an old school scale. Like he's standing on one side and like he literally balances light and dark, and take light and dark for what you will. And he's been very light heavy, and now he's been given some darkness to balance him out, and now we're getting to see like a more balanced Cal. Or maybe it's a little dark heavy, we don't know yet, but that's sort of how I'm picturing this happening, you know?
It's finding the balance in the like the path that he walks kind of thing. And it's really fun to RP out. It's super fun to RP out. But I think at the same time, he puts the group first in terms of being that, like, still having that mindset from before he was with the party of being, like, the protector, like, being the one in charge of, like, the responsible one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is still kind of like a driving factor in his character, and he wants to protect the entire party, but now with the information that's been revealed to him by literally everything around him, it's making it very tough to feel like he can be that person. And that is where we are with him trying to sort all of that out.
Can I ask a question? I feel like as you describe it, you're like debating whether or not you should be a party member in this group.
No, it's
not. Is that
no.
on the table?
No, not that at all.
Because it sort of feels like you're like, are these people worthy? Like, should I be working with them or not?
It's
that's sort of how I feel like it. Yes, maybe not worthy, but you know what I mean. Like,
it's that he knows that someone is doing wrong. And it seems like from the visions, Monaco may be doing something wrong, and like that's really shattering, because what if Monaco isn't doing something wrong and he's wrong about what he has been seeing and taking in?
It's like you have to be in that vision to get it.
Horatio's the big bad. But yeah. Horatio's the big bad. Yeah. He's a fragment of Halastar.
But like Omar,
he's the real BBEG.
But Omar, do you like kind of get what I mean?
I totally get what you mean. And then what I was gonna say after that was, from the very beginning, Cal has been on this, has been the level-headed one. I see Cal walking a tightrope. He doesn't have any personal connections to anything that happened to the group prior, especially during that heated moment, because you came in during a moment when no one trusted anyone, and basically were the thing that kind of lightning rod everyone back together, since you were like you weren't totally against Galdrim, and you saw things from Horatio's side, yet you also were like, if someone did this, that, and the third, when you were speaking to King at the very beginning, I understand where you're coming from. So it kind of was the Venn diagram middle between both sections of the Liberators, that point. And slowly Cal has been that way for the longest, and now we're actually starting to see, after his vision, him deviate to whatever side, I don't know. And I just find it fascinating, because now we're seeing this evolution of Cal.
Yeah, and on top of that, I don't even necessarily think it's necessarily like a simple and clean dichotomy of the scale, but I think it's the scale is going to tip in whatever direction. It may completely spin and topple in a certain direction, but it might not necessarily be in the same linear plane that we're talking about right now. Like, it Because it's not just one person or one faction of the party or one of the, or the other side or whatever. It's until things present themselves to be a little bit more clear. Cal is like this rotating scale at this point, and it's gonna, like, the coin is gonna finally stop spinning, and it's gonna fall on one side, and whatever direction the face is spinning might reveal something too, you know, like it's
Cal's gonna split the party. He's the five of the two. Five of the two and two.
I feel like Cal,
and it's gonna be three and two.
I feel like Cal's gonna have a lot of decisions. The fact that he is the mortal key, and then part of this could be meta. So his DM meta moment. We have one every one of these sessions. My DM meta moment. Cal has a huge responsibility that no one else has even fathomed, because you guys don't even know what the mortal key can do. But it's something that was bestowed by a god, so you know it's got to be like. Unfathomable how important it is if a god did this. So his, and you know a taste of that from, you know, stuff, Zeki.
Yeah, like I have a very small taste, and I have many fun things to have in the future so far.
And I feel like we're gonna see Cal. I just think we're gonna see something in Cal, and I don't know what. And I feel like I gave you a loaded gun, and I can't wait till you see where you fire it at and see the evolution of the cow.
Is it coming next session, or is it in sessions to come?
I would say, honestly, I don't know.
I honestly have no idea.
It
literally 1,000% hinges on the first hour of Sunday.
I mean, I will say that, to,
like, 1,000%.
Oh, so it has something to do with the king. Okay.
Not necessarily. It just hinges on whatever happens next. Like, there's like five or six different paths that I think Cal could probably take right now. And whatever happens next is really the big hinge.
Because in coming next. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
If the party does split 3-2, dibs on Cal.
Right? Because
you're going to spend all of your energy brainwashing Horatio, so the two of you have to escape somehow.
Brainwashing Horatio.
Oh my goodness.
So he's with Duran and I.
I'm hoping that does not happen. But
I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
No, I don't want that to happen either. I like our party.
Because I also, like, let's rewind, like, a quick second.
Okay.
There's still questions that Cal wanted to ask Minako from the previous session, the previous chapter. And he never got a chance to verbalize these questions. So now there's, like, extra secrets that, like, Minako is never going to be able to answer now. Specifically when I met with Drusilla. Because now I have information that... I think we've talked about it, Omar, where if I would just be able to ask the party about this certain person, all would become a little bit clearer in what may have been happening.
Right. I feel that... I forgot where I was going to go with this. I lost my train of thought. That's fine.
Okay, I'll ask. So are you going to ask us? Are you going to ask us those questions?
Yeah, what? Like...
I think some healing needs to...
King Tease.
Right?
That's what I remember now. So there... So that there will need to be a time, and I'll definitely make a time where you all would have, like, nothing to do, but you're all cooped up in a room, and it's like, well, let's spill the tea, everyone. Or the opportunity will be given, whether or not it is spilled or not. I don't know.
We're gonna have a stuck in the elevator moment.
I don't know when, but it's gotta happen. Someone's gonna have to break the ice, or y'all gonna be keeping secrets at the end of the campaign until everything is gonna have to come out. Oh. Why is this, that, and the third? Oh, I know why. Because
I was lying about this.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't want to tell you because of this, but now that that's done, like, I just forgot about telling you. Sorry.
Yeah, and you're like, what? And everyone's going to be looking at each other. You're going to be like, at the final boss. And you're going to be like, hold on one second. When did you...
I want a fucking secret now. I want a secret.
Who says you don't have a secret?
I know. I probably have a secret.
You don't know. King secret, has secret. No secrets. He spills secrets. All his beans.
I feel like probably, I mean, I don't know, or maybe so, but Duran could be either not have any secrets, he doesn't seem like he has secrets, or he'd be keeping me the biggest secret of all, and could be all just like a, what I didn't tell, I mean, the only secret that
he's
revealed.
He's keeping the biggest secret, we don't know nothing about his past and what he's done. I'm accept you from who you are, and you're who you are today moving forward. Who cares about your past?
He was a violent barbarian.
I've been secretly working for Duramo.
What?
Well, he did reveal that he killed his, and like it sucks because it happened like at the beginning of the campaign, beginning of the recording. But he did reveal that he killed his brother. That he was like alluding to this brother that he had for so long, and he kind of just came out and said it, which is more like a gas moment. But that was kind of like his big secret. But does he have any more secrets? You don't know.
I'm sure he has a few.
But afterwards, you all traveled. And finally, don in your beautiful new outfits that you forced your house to get to you, or you already had, made your way to the gala, whatever. It's called gala here. But after going on your fancy trip over this beautiful lake with some type of fish creatures hopping out and waving at you, you finally arrive into this beautiful hall where it was full of aristocrats. And as they announced King Terminus and his huge title that I had much fun making, he was not anywhere to be found.
He's drunk.
And then they were just like panicking. They're like, hold on a moment. And then he ran away. And then we had ended the session. So, this one first. Same question for everyone. We'll start off with Alex. Thoughts on the beginnings of the gala?
Oh, the king is drunk. He's missing. He's going to be hilarious when we see him. Okay. We haven't had. I just think, like, what's the most unexpected personality for a king to have?
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, remember that theory and see you in and compare that to what actually happens next week or this Sunday.
I'm between that, because I agree with Alex. I think he's either a drunk and, like, shirking his duties, or he's been kidnapped and now some extra drama's happening and they're in deep shit.
Or he's gone so that he's not in the room because they're going to blow up the palace.
Okay, Cersei Lannister, like...
I'm just saying, who knows? We don't know this
I'm
guy.
I'm going to have to, like, if that happens, don't worry, I can get us out.
Zeki, same question?
I have a feeling that the king is going to be mysteriously found dead in his chambers. And then Judean will, like, emergency declare kingship upon himself. And then we're going to have to deal with that, because then Duramo is going to show up and, like, crash the ball.
Oh my god, that is such a good theory.
Yo, I kind of slightly hope the king's dead, because, like, two levels ago, Monaco picked up the thing that lets you cast Speak with Dead at will, and she hasn't used it once. And I kind of want there to be a corpse, a really important dead body to talk to. Who did this to you, Your Majesty? It was that guy!
We have 5 questions. We better make them good.
Right?
Would you guys open up a letter if he was dead?
Like, I need to read this letter to you, and you need to tell me what you're going to do.
If you don't mind, right?
First question. After reading this letter, what would you do? Essay response only.
Right. Oh, my God.
Hopefully his ghost is as responsible as his title.
Depending on how he died, his ghost could be in a lot of pain.
Oh, jeez.
I want him to be like a total, like, pompous, like, I'm the king! Like, a total, like, the Slime King.
See, Black
Clover.
I also want it to kind of be like Theoden from Lord of the Rings, whenever he was, like, under the spell.
Mm-hmm.
Of the White Wizard of Saruman, you know, like he was like, boy, like, oh, and like King needs to work his like holy magic, and Gandalf the evil away from him.
I'll just say it right now. I prepped Greater Restoration to be like, hey, Kang, boop! Like, and did I got subtle spell, so I don't even have to fucking tell anyone I'm casting it. I can subtly cast Greater Restoration, and I've totally thought that could be a thing.
Oh my god, and like, with what just happened, that could totally impact. Like, I could have a giant moment if the king is in some deep shit.
Yeah. I think Omar knows what I'm talking about.
Oh my god, the king's not dead.
That could be really, yeah, really cool. If that was the case, if he was, like, mind-controlled. And I didn't think that that was a thing that could happen. Not could happen. I didn't think that that was a thing until someone started alluding to it. I forget whose organization, one of the five we've met, was like, the king's under the control of the Corpanis. The king's under the control. They have him under his thumb. There were multiple
that said that.
So it's like, the king's not even calling the shots here, so...
I got the impression that the king was just, like a figurehead.
Yeah, I think so.
What?
But he was a powerful adventurer, though.
Drunk figurehead.
Let's see what class he was.
Big brain conspiracy right here.
All right.
What if they are all under the control of, like, larva mind flayers?
Big brain. Very far out there.
No, because I feel like there's undead in the city besides the... You know, vampire coven. There was more than that.
I think it was the zombies, but I think the vampire coven.
So, I think that it's something with undead, not mind flayers.
This is like,
I know why Zeki says that. Is thinking that.
Oh shit!
No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't. Nah. Or do I?
Gotcha. Double gotcha.
But. Interesting.
Triple
maybe they are.
Gotcha.
His crown's just gonna be a like one of my player like mind sucking things. He'll be like, what? This is my fashion. Everyone turn around and have one on their head.
Yeah, but like don't the larva live inside of the brain of their host for like a while and then like the head pops off and it's like a mind flayer now?
I have like an alien moment.
And aren't they, like, pure chaos? I'm just throwing all of these things out there like spaghetti on a wall.
He's like, ha!
But
Wetlands.
Mind Flayers are super, super anti-magic. They hate arcane mages, and it's abhorrent to them because they're like, we're psionic. We're better than them. And if you have to stoop to arcane magic, you're ostracized from society. So that's another reason why I don't think it's mind flayers, because why would they be in the capital?
Maybe.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, they wouldn't find value in this place.
I'm just saying the overarching arc, like, the whole big bad endgame is, like, this cabal of mind flayers, and they're trying to create even more chaos, separating every plane in the void.
All I'm saying is that's a city filled with robots, and Halaster has an army of robots.
Let's not forget about him.
That's a great point, too.
Jeez. I will say, and like, I'm just doing this little...
clones here?
And I'm just doing a teaser, because eventually you guys will find out if you listen to it anyway.
We're doing schemes.
But to the listeners, we all know that there was a harp back to stuff prior to way back when during Cal's moment, so we are quite excited to see what could be in store in the future when it comes to that. As ambiguous as that sounds, but you know, listeners, I know you know. You listened. You know what happened.
I did.
The rest of you.
You good listeners. You good listeners.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
You're so lucky. Thanks for listening. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah. So, well, that's all the time we have. Quite excited to see what's coming up next as we ended. What's going on with the king? We'll find out definitely on Sunday. So, thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you to the cast of Descent into the Void for joining. As always, from the first chapter to the last page, we love you guys. Thank you again, and take care of each other. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.